Hi, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, and welcome to the Breaking Bread Podcast. My guest today is Lisa Owens, Program Manager for Long Island Cares, making her second visit to the studio. Great audience.
Great Lisa, audience. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, really, for coming in again. Last time you were on the podcast with me, we spoke about New Paths to Achievement.
Correct.
And some of our career-oriented programs. And certainly New Paths is doing very well because I read your monthly reports.
Great.
And really making a difference in the lives of so many people that are, you know, struggling out there, not just with food insecurity, but, you know, with other issues as well. But, you know, we are coming out, I guess, of hurricane season, you know, but we're also seeing, like, on the news today, there's another big storm coming down from the Midwest, and who knows if it's going to hit the East Coast, and there are terrible fires on the West Coast, and there's flooding in the South, which leads us to, you know, our role in terms of disaster preparedness, which you are part of the committee here at Long Island Cares, and I know you've taken the lead on a lot of this, in terms of our own disaster plan. So if you look, give our listeners an idea why we have a disaster plan, and when does an organization like Long Island Cares or any other regional food bank get involved in this?
So emergency response and recovery was born out of Hurricane Sandy, which was 12 years ago, right? And so out of that, the program began. We launched in Lindenhurst, and we were just on the ground running. And I kind of started in the middle of, you guys already on the ground. So out of that, just the necessity to help families who were directly impacted, and those, you know, indirectly as well, get back on their feet. We saw a lot of devastation. We saw a lot of need. We were out on the ground. We were partnering with organizations to just bring the support to get families back in their homes, the resources they need, the financial support to get them, you know, just kind of back into a space of, you know, just being okay. And even following that, there were still, we still have families in Lindenhurst today who are still visiting our sites, recovering.
That's amazing. You know, people, you look back, you know, 11, 12 years ago, and a lot of people said at the time, this, even though the storm may subside and the region will be rebuilt and the homes will be replaced, this is not going to be a recovery that's over in a year or two. This can take decades. There are still 100% people in New Orleans dealing with the after effects of Katrina.
Absolutely.
And that certainly is much longer than Superstorm Sandy.
Yeah.
What does it mean, in your opinion, for a food bank to have an emergency disaster plan?
It is, as I'm working with, you know, our leadership and then the leadership of other, our regional food banks, it is immensely important for us to be on the same page. As a team within our region, just making sure that if we're hit again regionally, or even if it's just our own food bank flooding, you know, where certain of our sites are impacted with flooding, just for us to know that there's a plan in place and we know what to do when that happens. And we are, it is a, our disaster plan is a living document. It's constantly changing. Even now, working on some technology, working on ways for us to stay connected, it is super important. And we have to encourage everyone in their own way, in their homes and in their businesses, to make sure you have a plan in place should we be impacted with anything, a fire, flooding, rain, whatever it is, snow. You know what I mean? We came out of it. Well, I can't even say that. We're still in winter. We've had, you know, snow in
March. It's been a very mild winter, but it's still winter. Yeah.
It's still winter. But just that preparedness so that, you know, we know we're all on the same page. It's super important.
Great. Absolutely. So, Lisa, let's talk about this disaster plan. Food banks have to have one, just like major corporations have to have one as well. What actually is in that plan? And as you said, it's a living document.
Correct.
which means it's reviewed periodically. Mm-hmm. You update it every year. People have to be trained on it and become familiar with it, oriented to the system. What goes into a disaster plan at Long Island Cares?
It is so comprehensive. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's going to vary, obviously, from business to business, food bank to food bank, because mm-hmm. we're all different. Our disaster plan, I think the main points is outlining our satellites and all of our locations. What our buildings look like? Do I know where to go in the event of an emergency? The next piece important is all of our contact information is there. Mm-hmm. All of our leadership team, they know the hierarchy of who you're going to make the decisions, right? Depending on, of course, if it's a regional disaster, you're going to, you know, collaborate with our regional, our metro mm-hmm. regional food banks sure. on any additional support. That's outlined in there. The beginnings, all the storms, the type of storms we could respond right. to, what those look like. It's a huge document. And I think just, again, the most important piece is outlining what each of us will do mm-hmm. in the event of a disaster. And of course, like you just said, the training piece for our staff. And that's to come. Mm-hmm. Definitely. We've done it in the past. We'll continue to visit it. Again, it's a living document. It's going to change as we're growing.
Sure.
we're growing.
Absolutely.
So it's our partnerships are in there. The organizations we partner with, the main ones are state and government mm-hmm. contacts are in there. It's just a really, really comprehensive document that is going to be what we need in the event of any type of disaster we need to work through.
I think one of the areas that I'm always aware of in terms of our disaster plan, mm-hmm. if there's a prediction for a snowstorm or mm-hmm. severe floods on Long Island, or like we had a few weeks ago where the temperatures were sub-zero mm-hmm. temperatures on Long Island and both counties are opening up warming centers, mm-hmm. There could be a role for the food bank when the county goes in that direction because they often look for water. They often look mm-hmm. for snack bars. They may be looking for food as well. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there have been cases where there's been a need for pet food.
Yes.
And we've provided that as well. The disaster plan, the declaration that we work through, it seems like in recent years, we've added some things to it. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd look at like cybersecurity, or now with active shooting, you know, mm-hmm. active shooter drills. So every time there's something that can conceivably cause a disaster or a crisis, we have to consider the implications for Long Island Cares. And then you, in turn, wind up putting that into the disaster plan. Right.
So the example is we're kind of still in COVID. Like, mm-hmm. it's never going to go away. Right?
Yeah, I think you're
but
right.
But the magnitude of what we dealt with, yes, we did. We had to add that into our plan. What does it look like when we have our own staff affected, when our families are affected, when our communities, you know, certain pockets are facing more attention than others, like they need that attention. Mm-hmm. We had to incorporate that into our plan and what that looked like. And yeah, just going back to the point, mm-hmm. it's going to continually change depending on what we're facing and outlining
and
how we respond.
You're also out front on our behalf with other organizations, you know, statewide organizations, groups like FEMA or the Red Cross or the Office of Emergency Management for mm-hmm. both Nassau and Suffolk County. You've attended some of their virtual meetings and probably gone to a couple of them in person. How do you feel about where we are as an organization should another Superstorm Sandy hit our region? Are we prepared?
We are prepared. Mm-hmm. Do we have work to do? Absolutely. Because we're growing and our region is growing and we won't know where the affected areas are.
Right.
So, you know, what our response looks like for that area mm-hmm. will determine what happens. Just look at the East End. If we're our satellite in the Hampton Bays, if it's that one area,
right.
we have to know, okay, how do we respond in that area? So it's really just, again, looking at the plan and like you just said, predicting. We can't predict, obviously, mm-hmm. but we can be prepared and know, do we have everything in place?
Sure. And and also, you know, look, as you said, that we're just one organization in the overall regional response plan. Mm-hmm. And we work closely with the American Red Cross here on Long Island, with the Health and Welfare Council and the Long Island VOAD. And I think why emergency response works on Long Island, number one, is because everybody who's playing a role in it respects each other. Mm-hmm. They respect what everyone's job is. Everyone has their, you know, neat little box. Look, Long Island cares, your food and water. We know that. You know, another organization, you're going to be, you know, emergency equipment, mm-hmm. and someone else is going to be transportation. So it all comes into a more comprehensive approach toward disaster response. Mm-hmm. But Superstorm Sandy, I mean, that was something I don't think any of us, the first storm in 100 years, could have predicted how much time we as an organization would have spent outside in freezing weather, trying to feed people, provide them with blankets. Yeah. And then, of course, checking on ourselves, you know, that we were okay. You know, so when you talk about COVID and the response that we had in providing services for an additional 223,000 people in 2 years, there was also a role, and I'd like you to talk about this, of guys, before we head out and save the world, what do we need to do to take care of ourselves? Absolutely. People have to be healthy to come to work. People have to be vaccinated. People should be boosted so we're not getting, you know, everyone else sick. How did you look at COVID, and what did you think the greatest challenges were going to be?
I think I, like the rest of us, we were not ready for that. You know, we kind of looked at, we're watching the news and we're watching it unfold, and then we're like, oh, wait, we have to quarantine? What does that look like? But we're needed. Like, we can't quarantine.
Right.
We were on the ground, and we were ready to respond. But the importance of, is my family okay first? Mm-hmm. There was no vaccines in the beginning.
That's correct.
You know
what
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And then so, you know, checking in with yourselves, reminding our staff, check in with yourself. Are you okay? And if you're not okay, you have to communicate that you're not okay. You have to listen to your body. You have to listen to your family. Listen to our community.
Absolutely,
fear was unreal because it was just so unknown. And I think the communications was just really important. As our leader, just that communication was what we needed to know that, okay, we're gonna put our best on, and we're gonna get out there. But we know that we're in a space where we can be confident that we're supported in the background. I think a lot of us felt like that. We didn't, and of course, I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for myself and even our media team. But knowing that we can go out and feel confident that you were hearing us, we were listening to each other, and we can go in and run on the ground and do what we needed to do and come back and still check on ourselves and make sure we're paying attention to those communications that ask the questions.
It was interesting because I remember when COVID hit and the state was put into lockdown and certain organizations such as ours were listed as essential services, our business isn't closing. We're not staying home because we can't get to work. We have to be out there because there are going to be people who need food because they can't get to the supermarket. They can't go to the corner, you know, grocery store. They're not able to go to work. So what are they going to do about, you know, taking care of their families? And, you know, our model was to open up 25 temporary pop-up food distribution sites, mostly in the town of Hempstead, and then rely on, at the time, our 5 satellite programs. But I never anticipated that we were going to have to deal with staff every day and their feelings of anxiety and being very, you know, nervous about what happens if I get sick. Yep. And I think in the early days of COVID, it was more, if I get this, I'm going to wind up in the hospital. Yeah. Or if I get this, I'm going to be put on a ventilator. If I get this, I'm going to die. And people were really frightened about it.
Yep.
And so I started a practice during COVID of simply walking into everybody's office every morning to find out how people felt, you know. And sure, the masks are great and, you know, washing your hands and everything else. It got us through it, but more than half of our staff were diagnosed with COVID. Yeah. And some of them even, you know, more than once.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the greatest challenge we might have in 2023? If not, I'm not asking you to predict the crisis, but what are you most concerned about?
I think my biggest concern is our response to all types of disasters. That's probably my biggest concern, because we are, again, believe what you want, climate change is real. We're seeing it now. We're coming out of February with no snow. It was 60 degrees the other day.
warmest February on record, from what I've heard.
Yeah. So are we going to look at a summer that is, you know, we see days over 100?
I
hope not too. Do we look at, you know, do we become a center that people can come to?
Right.
You know, I think that's probably my biggest concern, making sure that I communicate what we need to do as an organization to make sure we are prepared, our teams are prepared, our communities, and of course our network, so that we're all ready for whatever comes our way.
I absolutely have great confidence in your ability to lead us through disasters, to deal with our team. I know it. Oh, oh well. Lisa, that has nothing to do with you. What that basically means is that we've ran out of time on this episode of the Breaking Bread podcast. My guest once again has been Lisa Owens, Program Manager for Long Island Cares. We're talking about disaster preparedness from the viewpoint of a food bank. We're certainly going to have you back on the show sometime in the future, because things change so rapidly.
Absolutely.
And we really have to look into that. So in the meantime, this is Paul Pachter, CEO and President of Long Island Cares. And until the next time we break bread together, take good care of each other and stay safe and well. See you next time.